Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about comics based off of video games. These are comics that came out after a video game, as a tie-in to a video game, or as a way to sort of bridge gaps in the story of the video game. Your host, now my co-host, Jenny from Saskatoon.
It's a me!
Also with us is Red Ink.
He's the fastest thing live.
No! God. That is going to be the elephant in the room, so let's go ahead and shoot the damn elephant, Sonic. I made it no secret that I think the Archie Sonic comics are garbage.
They're fucking crazy.
They're fucking awful.
After
garbage.
The first 5 years, they
were
way
always,
out into left field and
always,
did drugs.
They were always garbage. Ken Penders is what happens if you Ken Penders is basically Christian Wesson Chandler, who was able to fake normal long enough to get his foot in the industry door.
Okay. You're not wrong. But I think that is insulting the man, and I'm talking about...
I am sorry to Chris Chan
one.
For comparing you
I'm
to Ken
I'm talking
Penders.
About the first guy, man. No, like, okay, the problem I loved, and I still do to a degree love the Sonic comics, because the further and further they got away from any of the storylines, finger quotes, of the video games, you know, they... got into more character development and they became something wholly their own. I mean, sure, it's Sonic and the Freedom Fighters, but I think they did a lot better by the character than the video games have, because after a while they just stopped trying with the video games, and when they tried again, we got Shadow the Hedgehog, the ultimate life form. But initially, like, after the first 3 or 4 years, that's when they really started going off the rails. The first few years was very basic, very much inspired by SatAM.
Which is their first mistake.
Only if you don't like Sonic comics, Ben.
What was I just saying? I don't like Sonic comics, JT.
I know, that was me being facetious. Okay. But I mean, the biggest strength from the Sonic comics, in my opinion, is the art. You know,
what?
The writing. For a long run in the Sonic comics, the art was the best thing about it.
Again. You know, what?
Well, it's nice to know that you took my opinion into consideration before you just decided to shit all over it like that. Yeah, I think the art is the best part of the Sonic comics. Because, like I said, after a while, the writing, they just went bug-nut crazy. Discuss.
Okay, the viewers can't see this, but I just posted my rebuttal.
Okay, just because I said the art was the best part, I didn't mean every comic was the best part, Ben. That is horrible art, yes.
I never read the Sonic comics, but I've heard of so many bad things just from osmosis, hearing people talk. Like the time Sonic apparently raped the bunny chick.
Well, that's actually okay. I am ashamed that I know this much. It was actually an evil Sonic from the alternate dimension. It was actually the evil Sonic from the alternate dimension that came over to oppose the Sonic and sow discord amongst the Freedom Fighters.
Or Knuckles has like 15 different fucking copies of him.
The ancient echidna race was actually like these Kryptonian people that had advanced species, and Knuckles himself was the savior created by his father to save the echidna people.
Okay.
No, Sonic comics are garbage.
They're not garbage. You don't like them. And a lot of them are pretty good. Moving on. Oh, before we move on from Sonic, the live-action movie, was it absolutely necessary to make his caregiver a giant talking owl named Longclaw? It couldn't have been Uncle Chuck. Or make it a female and have it be Auntie Charlene or something like that.
They can't.
Why did it have
to
be an owl?
They can't.
They can't use Uncle Chuck?
That's 100% correct.
Okay, you'll tell me that off air because we'll derail the whole show.
It's a 2 second. It's a 30 second right. explanation, and Red knows it as well as I. So, Red, if you want to take it away,
it's because what's his fucking face?
Ken Penders
stole the copyright for like a million fucking comic ideas for Sonic characters that he came up with.
Oh.
One of which was Uncle Chuck.
Well, he's a dick.
Yeah. Like, if you actually want to explore, like, the whole Ken Penders Archie stuff, we will... I think we've already done an episode on it, but if not, we could always do it again. It's just a rabbit hole of garbage.
Okay. I will say this final thing on the Sonic comics. The current run of Sonic from IDW, which does not use any of Ken Pender's stuff, is pretty good.
Merciful God.
Yes, and this is... It follows... The writer said this follows what happened with Archie, but they are not beholden to stuff that happened in the Archie comics. It literally, they just kind of start fresh, and it's been pretty good so far. On the list of video game comics, I'd be reluctant to say if I didn't say anything about Mortal Kombat. Now, there have been many, many, many bad comics of Mortal Kombat. A lot of them. Most of them come out of the 90s. In fact, 95% of them come out of the 90s. The comic series that came out a few years ago based off of the storyline introduced from like Mortal Kombat 9 forward was published by DC, oddly enough. I thought IDW would have snapped that up. But then again, DC is owned by Warner Brothers, which owns NetherRealm Studios. And they did it in their digital format. So if you're reading on a tablet, you got to turn it for the portrait view instead of like comics view. It's a lot of fun. It's a big prequel to the events of Mortal Kombat X, and art's okay. It's not perfect. I don't know. Did you guys read any of the MK stuff from the 90s?
No.
Yeah. They, it was published by Malibu Comics in like 2 or 3 years or just at the onset of the Ultraverse, but it was had Malibu Comics on the cover. There's like almost a dozen separate titles, and I have read through these, but there is a storyline through. There's an actual reading order for all these things, like Mortal Kombat Battle Thunder or Blood and Thunder and Battle Files and Goro Prince of Pain. They actually wrote a storyline that diverges from the games, but some of the art, as 90s as it is, really nailed the characters. So again, the art is the best thing about these.
This sounds exactly like the damn Malibu Street Fighter 2 comics.
I have never actually seen those except for the covers.
Malibu, for a brief time, was like the IDW of the 90s, where they just bought any licenses they could get and were like, let's make a comic out of this.
Yeah, didn't some of their original superhero characters, like the Ferret and Man of War, are actually like really obscure World War II era characters.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't put it past them. But on the topic of Street Fighter comics, most of them are not that great. Honest truth is, I did like at least the art of a couple of the comics that they had done by Udon Studios. There was this one artist they had on Udon, I think it's like, was it... Dagon? Umar Dagon? He was a great artist.
Sorry, my neighbors are rumbling something from their side. Yeah, I'm looking at the wiki.
Omar
the Street
Dogen.
Fighter.
Omar Dogen is a fantastic artist that does the Street Fighter style. And like all the books that he did, I got to be honest with you, I didn't even really read the stories of those books. I just liked looking at the art because his art was just so lively with that Street Fighter style.
Omar Dogen's really good. My favorite Street Fighter artist from the Udon titles was Alvin Lee, who has this very... It's kind of like Mark Bagley's art. Like when all the inkers and colorists that he's worked with, like, just they all really mesh well with his pencils, and it just carries over really well. There's also Jeffrey Chamba Cruz, who has a very fluid style. It's more or less very street art graffiti-esque in tone, but it's a lot of, it just has that energy. And usually he does like side stories or like little Charlie Brown-esque comic strips involving some of the Street Fighter characters, where the origin of Dan's gi is Ken washed his gi with Ryu's gi and now is all pink, and they're like, here, Dan, have this.
What did you think of, what's his name? He worked for Udon, but he did like the Street Fighter versus Darkstalkers book. It was, what was his name? Edwin Huang.
Street Fighter versus Darkstalkers?
Yes.
This is illustrated by Hanzo Steinbeck.
No, the liner was Edwin Huang.
I'm just going to look him up here. I do remember loving the Street Fighter. Did he do interiors or maybe the covers?
Pretty sure the interiors was Huang.
Okay. Well, both of them, because like, I think they worked on that series. And no, I love that. I was just glad they brought the Darkstalkers back and have basically, they did what IDW did with G.I. Joe and Transformers. They were in the same universe all along. They just never crossed over until they did the crossover miniseries. Did you read any of these Street Fighter comics, Red?
No.
Oh.
I would recommend them. I mean, Street Fighter, the games have as much story as when you used to read the booklets from the like Super Nintendo, you get like that two or three paragraphs, if that, of story to, you know, set up the world of the game. And the writers and artists that have worked on the Udon Street Fighter comics they're all super fans. They've put time in, they've worked, and they've made a cohesive story to connect the various storylines of all the games in one long form narrative. And I've enjoyed that as much as I've enjoyed the art. I mean, I've been a huge Street Fighter fan for years. Granted, I'm a bit of a button masher, but that doesn't mean I don't enjoy the games. So, is there a video game comic that you like, Red?
Honestly, no. You know a video game movie is going to suck balls. You know, the same thing with video game comics. They just suck.
Now.
Depends.
Now, we have to mention, just for the cheese factor, there was another Malibu comic that came out in the 90s for Doom, where the infamous immortal lines of rip and tear and huge guts came from in the Doom lore. And yes, it's now the Doom lore because these lines are used in Doom Eternal. Rip and tear.
I did not know that.
You didn't know about Rip and Tear and Huge Guts?
No, I knew that. I just didn't know it came from the Malibu comic.
Yeah. book's garbage, by the way. I just want to get that ahead of time.
Oh, really? I had no clue. looking at this list that, we're going off of the Big Boy Wikipedia articles, the OG Wikipedia folks.
It does not have Doom in the list, by the way.
Does not. Does have the Army of Two and Assassin's Creed on here. I've never played Army of Two. And this was in, you know, the early aughts where co-op and multiplayer was like the biggest thing video game companies thought fans wanted in games. I read it. It's okay. It's very modern, action-y sort of comic. The Assassin's Creed one, like, there are so many, like, there's mini-series and one-shots and manga. graphic novel. There was even there was two different ongoing series a few years ago. One was, it was just Assassin's Creed, and it was about this new girl who was, you know, inducted into the Assassin's Brotherhood, and you know, they're trying to stop this mounting conspiracy by the Templar. And at the same time, they had an Assassin's Creed comic, but it's based on the Templar who had this guy called the Black Cross, who was, you know, the assassin of the Templar. You know, if you stepped out of line, you broke the rules, the Black Cross would come for you and make you pay the penance. And that worked for a time.
You know,
but
I have a super cool idea. What if the assassins had their own assassin?
You got a little something dribbling off your chin there, Red.
Just overall, Assassin's Creed, the comics, that's when Ubisoft was really sniffing its own farts, because the games themselves actually had large swaths of information that is not given in the games anymore. And it's like, find out who this character is by reading this comic. A great example of this is Assassin's Creed Syndicate had like this female assassin show up, a Russian chick, that was part of the new assassin team to help Glasses guy and Hacker Girl to sort of steal stuff from the Templars. And it's like, who the fuck is this Russian chick? And it turns out, oh, there's a whole story about her in the comics. And it's like, no, don't do that. Don't just make it to where you have to assign homework for someone to play the damn game.
Yeah,
it's called
the
Dark Empire approach to things.
Yeah.
Like, Lucasfilm came up with this idea. We're going to do Star Wars, except without a movie. It's all going to be connected. The video games, the comics, the novels, everything's going to be connected. We can't lose.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot... I don't mind if there's that tie-in media that where you learn stuff like this. I mean, everyone... I'm not saying it's the greatest thing ever. It's just I enjoy that sort of thing because...
Don't make, you know, it mandatory homework is my point.
Well,
because
that's... I don't think that's mandatory homework. If you want to go and find out more about this character, you can read the comic. I mean... There's nothing wrong with that. It's not like saying in the game, you know, they stop and they put up an ad saying, go read this comic now to find out what happens. It's tie-in media. It's off to the side. I prefer something like this versus playing Fortnite, which I don't like playing. I've played it for all of 6 hours and got tired of never getting out of like the bottom 10. And just to find out that Palpatine was back in that last movie that we all loved so much. So I get what you're saying, then. It says, I enjoy it, you don't. That's cool. You know, they've got comic, they got like two different miniseries for Borderlands. I'm a huge fan of that video game series. You know, it's based on events in between games or before some of the games. It's entertaining if you're a fan. You don't have to read it. You gain nothing of value is gained or lost, is what I'm saying. There are even Call of Duty comics, and I forget if it was Call of Duty Advanced Warfare or Black Ops, but there was like a couple of miniseries based on this one crew, set in the same world as the games. They're trying to stop this Russian operative from kicking off World War III, and it was fun, and it seems about as nonsensically action thrillery as the games are, because I don't understand how anyone plays I don't know if anyone really plays those games for the story.
Again, that's a solution looking for a problem. One comic I did kind of like was there was a set of comics for a couple of The Legend of Zelda. I remembered really liking this Japanese comic, a manga, if you will, for Link's Awakening. It was really nice limited manga run for Link's Awakening manga. It was really good. It was really good. I remember liking it. Can't really think of anything else from video game to comic that was really good or really caught my interest, because again, if you had to like include a lot of the extra storyline stuff into the comic, the creating a homework problem is, I think, my biggest problem.
No, when you said Legend of Zelda, I thought you were going to bring up the old Nintendo Comic System imprint from Valiant Comics in the 90s.
Oh, I thought you were, when you said start talking about Nintendo, I thought you were going to talk about the Nintendo Power comics that were in the back of the Nintendo Power issues of like Zelda and Mario and.
I barely remember those. I remember collecting, I had a bunch of the Super Mario Land comic where it's set in the real world, but the villain, the vaguely Nazi-esque purple skin Spock-eared villain from that game, would escape through a Game Boy into the real world, and there are these two kids who Mario would team up with, and they it seemed similar, so similar to the plot of that Karate Kid cartoon where Miyagi and Daniel-san are chasing the mystic shrine across the world. Like somehow they just managed to follow this guy wherever he goes, trying to create chaos. And the Captain N comic, which is how I found out that Samus Aran was a woman. I was like, really? Okay, cool. And then
Gustav
she's like, please.
Bailey.
Yeah.
Never finished
And
the
then,
first game?
no, I never did. Now, you know me as I am now, Red. Imagine how little patience and self-control I had when I was a child.
Explains many things, yes.
Yes. I mean, they had the Captain N comic, like I said. That one was. They replaced, like I said, I said it on the show before. They replaced my boy Simon Belmont from the cartoon with Samus Aran because reasons.
Probably
You
rights
still had,
issues.
yeah. Well, I mean, how many rights battles did they have? Because they wrote in Kid Icarus, looked like Kid Icarus from the cartoon. Wrote in Mega Man, looked like that butt munch from the cartoon that said Mega Mega. They never had Game Boy as a character, but they still had like Mother Brain, Eggplant Wizard, King Hippo.
Now, this does make me think of an actual comic adaptation that I thought was pretty good, simply because of the fact that you didn't have to read it to enjoy the game. It was supplementary material, and the plot of it was pants on head retarded, and they knew it. Of course, talking about the Team Fortress 2 comics, which were online only, and tell the story about this guy named Saxton Hale, who is this Australian with a big barrel chest. And his chest hair is in the shape of Australia. He goes around mining for something called Australium, and he blows shit up.
This guy is literally so manly that his chest hair is formed into the continent of Australia.
Yes.
Oh my God. Really?
Yeah, and there were ads of these comics for like some of the upgrade items for the game. Like in the game, the sniper character has this weapon called Gerarte, which he uses to weaken enemies and, quote, reduces their will to fight and live. And what Gerarte is a glass jar filled with his piss. And the comic strip ad they have for Gerarte is essentially a Body by Atlas spoof. And
Oh my God.
I'm surprised you don't know about this, JT.
No, I do not.
And again, why I like the Team Fortress 2 online comics is because it sort of like throws any premise of being a serious comic out the window. It's like, fuck it. Here's Saxton Hale. His chest hair is in the shape of Australia. He's mining Australium. Fuck it. Just fuck it.
That wow. No, I mean, that's damn. I I mean, I'm looking at like this list. Like, there's the Archie Mega Man comic that came out towards the end of Archie making video game comics was actually pretty good. It sits solidly in the world of the original games and includes elements from the X series. There are, I've seen Metal Gear Solid comics, but I never picked them up. Not that I'm not fans of the games, as the art is, well, it's more art than comic book. I'm not saying it's bad. It just so does nothing for me.
It's made by something. It's something made by Kojima, essentially. It's more art than comic book. It's more art it's than the video
pretty.
Game. It's
pretty. Yeah.
It's more movie than video.
It's real
game.
Pretty. That there are comics for the video game Prototype. I did not know that existed. There's a Ratchet and Clank comic. There have been Killer Instinct comics, and I did read those.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it, because it's set like years after the original two games on the N64, and that one, reading that, if you wanted to understand, you would have to go back and do homework and troll through message boards and the darkest pits of nerdy websites to find any information. And part of me wanted to do that.
If Killer Instinct the game was so bad, I can't imagine how bad the comic is. Like, I remember being a kid, and you always had, like, a friend or a cousin who had Killer Instinct, and be, hey, guys, let's play Killer Instinct. No.
Well, I only ever played the first game, and I didn't play, like, that reboot that came out, like, 6 years ago. But in this comic, and this is from, based, I guess, ostensibly off the reboot, the main characters from the game are, bunch of them, there's like Jago is like this ninja dude with like the anime hair, and Orchid, who's the chick in the yellow and green onesie that fought with Tanfas. Apparently them and all the other fighters in the game could now summon stands. Like, they basically summon these psychic fighting ghosts to deal with the events of the comic, and my brain hurts saying that. I don't know what to tell you. I'm looking for more good video games. I'm sure there are some. I mean, we did mention the Darkstalkers before with the Udon. The two Darkstalkers miniseries were a lot of fun, tied solidly in the game. Everyone gets a little cameo.
The Capcom fighting game comics that Udon made, I admit I did not read for story. I read because I thought that the art was pretty, and like Umar Dogan had a really pretty style, and that's the only reason I read it. And I didn't even read it as much as I stared at the art.
Yeah. Although they did in the back, in a backup story in one of the issues in the first miniseries, they gave an origin to John Talbain, who was my main when I played that game back in the day, the werewolf that fights with Kung Fu. You know, a lot of the characters get fleshed out backstories, which, you know, as a fan, I appreciated. And then they ended Street Fighter versus Darkstalkers with Akuma punching one of the villains from, I think it's Street Fighter 4 or Street Fighter 3. It's the blonde, long flowing blonde hair, but the guy is like half of him is blue skin and the other half is red skin. I forget what his character name is.
Jin? Or Gil?
I think it's Gil. Yeah, that sounds about right. And Akuma punching him into hell.
Yeah, no.
Okay, now let me ask you this. You guys have both played a lot of video games. What's a video game that you've played that you think might work as a video game, or you would just like to see, work as a comic book series?
That would work as a comic book series.
That, you know, just the basis on, like, the basis of the game is like, yeah, that you can make some decent stories out of that.
I had an idea for a second that I remembered. Oh, they did it. They made a comic, and it was terrible.
What was it?
City of Heroes.
That's right.
Oh, my God. I think I actually read that. No, wait. I played that. I didn't read the comic.
The comic was bad. I remember that comic.
Yeah.
They also made a comic book for Tron, which was supposed to be like... fill in the gaps between Tron 1 and Tron 2.
Well, they've had a couple of Tron comics. I mean, I know we did an episode on something about canceled comics that we wanted to see never came out. There was the Montreal 88 Mile Per Hour Studios was supposed to do this Tron 2.0 comic that following the events of the Tron 2.0 game that never came out. And then they had a Tron miniseries, which is after that game where Alan Bradley's son, Jet, yes, he was named Jet, was having like this existential crisis mental breakdown because the process by which he was put into the game and brought out again split him. So part of his mind was trapped in the game and was becoming a villain. And they had some prequel comics for Tron Legacy published through Marvel.
Yeah, that's the ones I was talking about where they try to do like this political intrigue thing where Tron's girlfriend is like running for like digital mayor or some bullshit. It was bad. It was people who like really dug into and really loved the first Tron trying to make sure every little thing from the first Tron got to like have its limelight in this comic, and you didn't need to do that. I think Tron Legacy, while not a great movie, is stronger in the fact that they're like, okay, let's condense this all the way down.
Guys, it's Tron. Put the sandwich down. Put it in the garbage.
Okay. No, you must eat and become one of us, Red. One of us. One of us.
No. No, Red's actually right. It's a Tron is not something to, it's not a hill to die on. It really isn't.
No. One, I guess, like, we got Borderlands, like, those two miniseries. I would honestly like to see, like, just a series of miniseries based on Saints Row. You know, the wacky adventures of the boss and the Third Street Saints going about taking over Steelport and retaking Stillwater.
No.
That's what I want, Ben. You don't have to want it. That's what I want. Just saying.
I can't think of any others that would make a good comic book simply because... video games, by their nature, are either way too short and condensed or way too long and jagged that you really can't, like, distill that down to a comic book or
expand it out to a comic book. There is potential in the greater mythology of... Have you ever played the Darksiders series of games?
No.
Basically, there's a story. The story in the first game is the apocalypse has been kicked off early. All the blame is placed on the Horseman of Death, and the game follows him as he tries to find the evidence of, you know, who started the apocalypse early and who framed him. And then in the first sequel, you play Death, or sorry, it's War. Then in the sequel, you play Death, and then Strife in the third one. But there's this greater thing about the balance of forces of heaven and hell, and the four horsemen stand outside of that conflict. It could be made for some interesting, like a graphic novel, I think. Or do you just want to have like Doom comics?
The Doom comic is garbage, but it at least knows what it is. It doesn't try to pretend to be something more than what it is. It's still garbage, but it's not pretentious garbage.
Just what garbage. If Knuckles is part of a secret society?
Oh my God.
And all his people are actually...
Look, sleeping. Mr. Penders, I would appreciate if you give the mic back to Red, because we don't have any time to deal with that bullshit.
I just want to put it out there. There is a comic that Ken Penders did before he did Archie Sonic called The Lost Ones. And he reused every idea from The Lost Ones into Archie Sonic. And it's garbage.
He actually made a crossover between the two.
Yes, I know.
I think the main thing if with any video game comic, which is why I appreciate the Street Fighter runs, a lot of those comics haven't run any more than 12 or 13 issues at the most. And yeah, they're adapting the stories of the games. I think if you do any comic based on any game, it shouldn't be an ongoing series. Like, I'll be generous and say 4 or 5 issues tops, unless you really got people that are real fans of the games and are putting a lot of heart and soul into, like the Mega Man comic, like the Street Fighter, the Darkstalkers, you know, stuff like that. Because, like you said, Ben, it's the games only go so far with a story, and after you can only go so far adapting that into a medium like comic books without, you know, going past the bottom of the barrel and halfway to the other side of the world. Which is why, you know, Street Fighter, I think there's more potential for side stories there than in, say, something like Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat, I love that story. I love that mythology, but I don't think there's enough there with that universe that you can do an ongoing or even a miniseries, really.
Mortal Kombat is such a mess that in the last 3 games, they rebooted the universe twice.
Or multiple times if you count the time travel shenanigans in 11.
And
I don't know what the fuck you guys are talking about.
Okay, in Mortal Kombat...
Oh, God, don't.
It would have been a 30-second... Hey, if I didn't want to hear it and Ben gave me a 30-second explanation, I can do the same.
All right, if you have the floor, Jathan. Go ahead. A
rhetorical comment.
Never mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
The point I was making is Mortal Kombat's a mess. And with all the DLC characters, you now have a universe that's connected to everything.
And Rambo had the saddest ending.
All right, let's just wrap this up. I think we're sort of spinning our wheels here, guys. Comics based off of video games. I like Dude on Street Fighter comics because the art's pretty. That's the most I could say. This is your host, Ben.
JT from Saskatoon.
Reading.
We're saying goodnight.
So long.
Don't fucking read comics based on video games. They're fucking terrible for you. You become another JT.
Fuck you.